G'day everybody. Sorry I'm running a little bit late. I had a couple of problems trying to get on the live on Facebook over here. The laptop that I was going to use, our passwords weren't working. So I'm on the iPhone now, and I've got another iPhone here with some screenshots on it of the photo. So I managed to sort of fumble my way through technology to figure out a way to get the questions. Questions out to you guys, but I've been having a good time, training and helping people. We've been doing a lot of lessons over here in Germany, and it's been really nice. I have three places I go with some really good friends that have sort of helped this happen each year, and stay with them, visit them, and I also, stop at the stables and do a lot of lessons with people. And I've been helping a young girl who's had a bad accident on her horse restart her horse. That's been a sort of we did quite two lessons a day with her, and we've really come a long way and sort of shown her that there's some light at the end of the tunnel, because she was sort of at a bit of a dead end with her horse. So we've had some good progress there. We had Baloo, which I work every year. He's a pony that sort of was the famous German Baloo he's a bit of a nervous pony, but he pulled the wool over a few people's eyes. He's been going good, but I'm at the moment in a town called Springer. Very nice town. And I've got some more lessons here, but it's Father's Day over here, and they have a holiday on Father's Day, and all the fathers, they get a cart and they load it with beer, and they can tow it with a horse or whatever, and they go out and they have a barbecue somewhere. So that's seems to be the Father's Day tradition. So later on today, we're going to go for a ride, and we're going to put the horse in the cart and load up the beer and go for a barbecue. So it sounds like fun. I've got the questions here. I've just got to get the screenshots up, and we'll start at the start here. Hang on a minute. It's a bit hard to read, so where am I at? Hold on, guys. Okay, I'm gonna start with Karen's question. Karen Smith. I'm going through them as they come up on the phone. It's not the same order that was on the order of questions, but it's about an alpha mare who dislikes people, always pinning her ears, has bitten aggressively when you catch her. She takes no notice, looks everywhere else. It's like she disconnects totally. You need to remind her that you're there. She's only had her a few months. She was used for over 12. She's been not used for over 12 months, and she's 5 years old. Very nasty to other horses. So she's on her own, has friends right beside her. She's worse when in on season. Okay. So there are horses that are just nasty around people, and there are horses, hello Kelly, horses that are kind of nasty all the time. So what happens is the what sounds like that horse, she's quite a mare that holds quite a tension. We'll just call it tension. For instance, she holds tension around horses, and she holds tension around people, and she's sort of very aware of she's not comfortable when horses are around and stuff. Now, what you got to look at, some horses are cranky with other horses when we're around them, because they're holding tension because of us, and there's something about people they don't like. So because they've got that tension with us, they can be a little bit funny around the other horses as well. If she's just in the paddock and she's funny around horses all the time with the other horses, then she's probably one of those mares that are just a bit like that. And who knows what else is in there that causes that, hormonally and things like that. That's something I sort of I'm not going to talk about, because I'm going to talk about more so how you can kind of help her when you come up to her. So what you want to be looking at with horses like that to start with, if she was just in a yard or round yard or a paddock or a small paddock, when you walk up to her, you just got to walk up and watch her. And as soon as she starts to tell you she's unhappy, you might just sort of step back a little bit and relax and just monitor her, watch her closely, see if she kind of relaxes a little bit when you listen to her. Because she's probably a very, sensitive mare. She might seem, her sensitivity is coming out through her aggression. So what you're going to do is walk up, see a change of thought, whether, you know, and with her, it sounds like it's going to be a negative one because she's going to be aggressive. And then just hold, wait, and then let her relax a little bit if she does. But stepping back will step you out of the spot where she said, I'm unhappy. And I would use that approach and retreat. And on other talks, I've talked about approach and retreat. It's an old saying. And the way I sort of see it is you walk up to a horse till you see a change of intention or thought, whether it be positive or negative. So as soon as you see them go, not too sure, you step back and let them relax. And that's how I'd walk in with her to her, to acknowledge how she feels and listen to her when she sort of communicates. Because the more you listen to them when they communicate, the better they'll be. You know, you could say that, well, when you step back, when she pins her ears, she's sort of telling you to go away, and you do, but you're not going away. You know, it's not like she puts her ears back. She might just put her ears back, and if you walked away completely, she'd probably go, yeah, well, I told them to go away, but you're actually staying there and just watching it to relax. So and if you keep doing that, they actually relax, and you can get closer and closer and closer till they actually allow you in without being so cranky. So that's one way I'd kind of address how I approach her. Another thing is when you're with her and she gets sort of snarly and bitey and things like that, I'd just sort of go, don't think that, okay? So what I'd do is, people see me carry a flag or something like that, and so when I'm at a demonstration or I'm working a new horse, I might have a flag with me, and I would stand calm and pop the flag, and when I see a horse have a really hard thought, and I'd kind of just take that thought away with a distraction of the flag. But then after that, I'd be standing there very calm. And when you stand with horses like that, when I talk about the tree with people, the tree's not just growing your roots into the ground and being stiff and solid. It's about being centered and kind of strong and calm and kind. It's like there's strength and calmness all in the same feeling. So you have a strength and you have a calmness about you, and in your mind you say to her, you know, that I'm here to help. I say I'm here to help. That's the thing I say to people, because you're trying to put a positive feeling in your body when you stand there calm, because a lot of times your little body language of being a little bit anxious and nervous, that, you know, you might grow, like with a little lesson I did just in Germany here, there was a lady and I said, you know, just stand there, Baloo's pushing, but stand. And then when I walked up her, she could stand still, but I could see her head move a slight bit, and I could see her eyes change, and that was enough to sort of tell me that she was weakening, and that was enough to tell the horse that she was weakening too. So yeah, you got to look at it like that. You know, we can sort of subtly weaken though we think we're standing still and calm. So you got to put something in your mind that distracts you from worrying about, you know, what she's thinking. Okay, so that's very important. So when she goes to bite, distract her. Don't get in a sort of wrestling match with her. Don't make her more angry and that she needs to be. So, and try that for a bit. Understand, listen to her when you walk up to her, and also distract those hard thoughts and be there like a tree in a calm place. Don't rub her, don't pat her, don't sort of tickle her and try and make her feel good. Just stand there and let her just start to rest and connect and center with you, so she can just stand there and have company without being fiddled with. And you might have to do that for quite a while, some time before she starts to accept other things. But I deepen that connection and that sort of feeling that it's safe to be standing with you and you're a good place, because she could have been a mare that was pushed down the pecking order in the past, and that's why she's sort of unhappy around horses and people, and she carries that sort of anxiety through a past bad feeling from not getting calm in the herd or pecking order. There could be a lot of reasons, So yeah, just look into that and yeah, see how you go. I'm just going to get another question up. I've got, good-o.
The short one.
I've got it on paper now. So, Megan, hello Megan, if you're out there, helping a horse get confident with things behind them. He's fine to long rein, but not great with man-made things like sheds, vehicles. Okay, so common thing is you know, horses kind of, oh, what's that behind me? Oh, there's something coming up behind me. The worst thing is with horses like that, you know, if you, like here we did a big forest ride, and we were it's in the week, so there's no bikes, but it was a beautiful big forest. But I could imagine on the weekend there'd be mountain bikes everywhere. So yeah, mountain bikes and sneaking up behind horses can frighten them a fair bit. So basically you've just, like, imagine it like a horse that you're trying to walk behind and they're trying to spin around and see you. Allow them to turn. So if something comes up behind them, allow them to turn and face it. And then, like, if you're in a situation where you know someone's there, a friend to help you or something, so if it's a shed or something, and you walk past the shed, and then while the shed's behind them, so firstly, when they walk past the shed, are they walking past it in a rush, or are they thinking about it the whole way? So if you think your horse is speeding up past the shed, then when you get past the shed, it's going to be frightened. But if you slow your horse down and let it stop and reset and think about what it's walking past, until it kind of relaxes and goes, yep, I understand that this is okay, or I'm starting to accept this shed, then when you walk past it, it mightn't frighten your horse so much. So sometimes our horse kind of just stays walking, but it's actually not comfortable walking past the shed, and we kind of let it walk past the shed, and then we get past the shed and it gets frightened. So I would deliberately slow my horse down if I felt any rise in tension or quickening of speed or anything like that when I walk past the things that it could be scared of. So when it walks past them, it's thinking the whole way till it relaxes. It's the same as not allowing a horse just to walk up in a horse float till you know they're actually calm and they've acknowledged the horse float. Speaking of that, I had such an interesting horse here yesterday, which was a little cob horse, a rescue cob horse, because they rescue a lot of cob horses from Ireland. Going off track there. But so the other thing I do also is set your horse up when you go past the scary object. Is if they kind of get a little bit hurried, just turn, let them think, let them focus on what they're worried about, and then just do a U-ey. So they just turn and their hind quarter will be towards it again, and just allow them to turn back around again. And you do that on the left eye and the right eye till they just do a U-turn all the way around, look at the object, and then turn away from the object, and then turn the other way, look at the object, turn away from the object, just till they get used to sort of just crossing eyes, two eyes, having it right behind them. Same way as I just get a horse used to looking at something like a creek I want to cross or going past a sort of a scary thing. So two eyes, one eye, turn, hind quarter towards the object, turn away. The other thing you can sort of do is, with cars or something, set someone up to drive and follow the vehicle so they're sort of getting curious on it. And then while you're following, do a U-turn. So the vehicle will be going away and the horse will be turning away from the vehicle and turning back to the vehicle, turning away from the vehicle, back to the vehicle. And then you can sort of, you know, stop the vehicle, turn away from the vehicle, back to the vehicle. And then you could almost, go past the vehicle, you know, follow it and just gently pass the vehicle as the vehicle's going slow. And then the horse will overtake it, and then it'll sort of be prepared for having that vehicle behind it, just until the horse gets used to that, okay, it's just a vehicle, and then you can set it up for the vehicle to slowly follow you while you turn it, turn, go away, turn, go away, and just keep exposing each side of the brain. And if the horse needs time to stop and think, then allow it to stop and think, and just work on it like that, and you'll make some progress. It's just that exposure and understanding. It's just not much different to getting them used to anything. It's just exposing them at that angle. So we've got another question from Simona. Does a horse who trusts you still try to pull the wool over your eyes? Possibly. Suddenly refusing to load when it hasn't been an issue for months? Or is it a sign that you don't actually have their trust and or you haven't resolved the issue completely in the first place. How do you know when an anxious horse who has previously been handled roughly by others' owners completely trusts you and your kindness? I'm at a loss with this with my horse as we have regressed after months of progress. This is a like it's a kind of an easy, hard question. It's a hard question because like I had a horse yesterday, which was this cob horse, and it would suddenly run away on a lead and pull away. And it was fascinating to watch this horse because it was one of the most, oh, I said it's like a 1 in 100 horse. I don't believe it was as shut down as some horses I've seen shut down, but this little horse would kind of stand there and you could wave a flag, you could kind of do anything and it wouldn't bother it. But if it went past something scary, it'd just run off. But when it ran off, it would just go straight to the grass and eat it and just smash the grass and eat away and just like block out and just go straight to the grass. It wasn't going to the other horses. It would just run off, find a patch of grass and eat it. And so it was almost like it was disobedient, but it was worried. And this horse that you're talking about sort of, you know, would show signs of what the horse I worked yesterday had. So we had to set the horse up to actually get somebody else to worry it. So it went, holy cow, I'm worried. So when someone else held the flag and flapped it, the horse got more concerned because the lady had desensitized it with stuff before. And she said it was no problems. You just throw stuff over it and it'd be fine. So it actually didn't actually, it was always very not sensitive with things. But then it was worried when someone else waved the flag because it actually wasn't connected with people. That was the worst thing. It was kind of stand there quiet but completely disconnected. So then when it did get bothered, it'd run away from people and go and eat grass. And then when she went to load it, it just went, I'm not loading, and refused to load. So I had to help her load it. And I said to her at the end of the demonstration, I said, don't do very much with his horse. So expect, do very little, but expect a lot. Because I think she was doing a lot and expecting a little. And I'm going to sort of go back to your horse, Simona, is sometimes we've got a horse that kind of trusts things, does things, and we kind of think they're going good, but we're doing a lot with them and they're doing it okay, but we're not expecting enough out of our horses. Now, I'm not saying expecting a lot means you're demanding all this stuff out of your horse and it's too hard for them. I mean, expect the horse to be fully present when you're doing something and understanding that simple task requires accuracy, connection, and that the horse is understanding it. And then when it understands it, you do something else. So in your prior training, like simply leading the horse, like this little horse that I worked, I said, don't do anything with this horse except lead it for center, get centered so the horse just calms with you and stands with you. She was also using clicker training, and I said, get rid of the food, get rid of the idea that the horse is going to get a treat after something, or because the horse is not present with anything it's doing. It's only going to float because it knows there's a treat in there, but the reality is it's frightened of the float. And you're not going to get that horse not frightened of the float while it thinks it's going in there for a click and a reward. So take away all of that. Take it all away and just get that horse highly present in that individual moment and that task. And then when that horse is frightened and when you're standing with it, it's focused on you and it's centered and it's not thinking about the grass. It's not looking over there. It's not sniffing you and mauling you for something to eat. So I know you probably haven't done the clicker training or anything, but I'm just saying that, how your horse is standing with you and all that all means something. Now, pulling the wool, she's probably not pulling the wool. The horses do things for reasons, okay? So if they're not connected and they're not safe around people and we're not centered enough, so the other thing I explain to people is your horse can like you. You can scratch it. You can give it food. You can make it do all these things. And it might like you, and it's not frightened you. But there's a lot of people that I like, but I'm not going to follow them into battle. There's only a few people that I'd follow into battle if I was going to follow into battle. Okay, so, but there's a lot of people I like. And with a horse-human relationship, you have to have a relationship where the horse likes you, but it's going to follow you into battle because it, or say, oh no, that's probably a bad way of putting it. If the world feels like it's ending to that horse for that moment and everything's scary, then it's got to be confident of, with your leadership, that you're confident and you're calm and you're not faltered. And then that's what gets the real relationship where horses stay with us and connect with us. And just what this cob I was talking about, that's what it didn't have. It sort of liked certain things that people offered it, but really when it was that worried, people weren't there to be strong and a herd for them. So all those things have got to come in, and you've got to really address those in your relationship with your horse. So, hasn't been an issue for months. See, what I'm thinking, and this is only a clutch at pulling something out of the skies, I think the horse probably was doing things but only half there. But, you know, you might say maybe he was really there and he's really present. But I would kind of address all those things. So I would actually firstly get him back to just centering, standing, and just watch the little things. How does he follow the lead? And also with your horse float, you know, he's not going in the horse float. Work on getting him leading very well, you know, so he's leading soft. He can lead on one eye, he can lead on the other. He's not just following you, he's following the feel of the lead. He stops with the lead, because sometimes horses lead, but they don't lead. They still know how to pull back. So when he's leading very well, bring him back to the horse float, and instead of putting him on the horse float, put him close to the horse float and just let him relax close to the horse float, and then just take him away, bring him back to the horse float, and then start to just step him up to the horse float and leave him long enough. I'm probably saying he, it's a her. But leave him long enough so that they can just maybe just think about the float. Now, when you're watching your horse, watch closely where its thoughts are when it's near the horse float and things like that. So your horse is being an anxious horse, but it's probably, you know, got a bit more understanding now, less anxiety with you, but it's getting a bit more confident. So that's why it's probably starting to run off and do things. But the anxiety is still in there with everything. So let it stand at the float. If it's thinking towards the float, allow it to think towards the float. Let it just think about it until it sniffs it, does it, you know, goes through that cycle as if it was a young horse. If you see it blocking out the float and just going through the motions of stepping on it, then your job is to wait and get that horse to think about the horse float. And until that it's acknowledging every part of the journey into that horse float. And if you think that it's sort of worried, it's got a worried eye, its thoughts are out, but it's going in, then one day the horse is going to go, I've had enough of this, I'm out of here, okay, no matter how much discipline you got on it. So your leading discipline comes with how well it leads and stuff like that, how well it connect, you know, follows the feel, and then your trust with the horse float's going to come with, you know, don't put it on until you know your horse has acknowledged everything and can stop and stand at every spot and understand every spot that it's in. So that's where you go back to doing a few little things very well, the leading, the loading, the centering, and keeping your horses, you know, keeping your, you know, standing until your horse actually kind of relaxes and realizes that the best place is to be with you. And yeah. Sorry that you're at a loss with it, because yeah, it's hard to know without watching, you know. But you know, so I hope this advice helps. But it's really hard to know without really getting into your, you know, and seeing what's really happening and how well your horse does things. So, Denise, Highland Pony. He's a very friendly pony, ridden with other horses and with groundwork. I'm now asking him to leave the other horses when ridden. He's happy to leave being led, but when ridden, he puts his ears back and refuses everything I ask. It's very frustrating, but I have kept my cool. Very good. Got to keep you cool. When I get off He's perfect. I don't understand any ideas on this thinking. Okay, so, right, groundwork, ridden work. Just because you do something on the ground doesn't mean it's going to work under saddle. You have to do things on the ground because you've got chances are they'll work better under saddle and the horse will have a better connection and understanding with you. But just because you got this horse or horse connected with you and following you and being really nice doesn't mean it's going to sort of compute straight away under saddle. So what we're doing under saddle, we're starting a platform, we're starting a foundation of understanding where our horse understands our tools, but it understands that there's an island for it. So you know, when I talk about center, I talk about some horses, I say I imagine in my mind, like when I'm watching a horse struggle, what I'm seeing in my mind is I see this horse swimming in the ocean of sharks, and it just kind of thinks it's got to go in this direction because that's where safety is, and they kind of look like they're worried and they're not centered. But then all of a sudden, when they calm with the person, they step up on the beach and they take a breather and they rest and they go, oh, I'm calm now, I'm out of that water, geez, because I was drowning. So it'd be like chucking a kid in a swimming pool and in the middle and they can't get to the edge, they'd soon panic. But if you put them near the edge of the pool and you put them in, there's the edge there, and they just quickly come to the edge, and then soon enough they can swim from a long way out to the edge. And so that's kind of like when I talk about having, you know, an island. So what horses do when we're on the ground, visually we're right there, so visually they can see us and they can center with us and they can be a herd with us. So we can use that and tap into that, and that's what's probably happening with your Highland pony if you've worked on some of the stuff that I talk about. But what's happening is when you ride, his eyes, his head is in front of you, and he can't find the island of center while you're on his back. So his island, he thinks, and his safe place to sort of get out of the sharks and the water is go back to the other horses or the stable or whatever. So when you train him in your riding in the arena or anything like that, what you've got to do is you've got to kind of look at the signs when he kind of centers with you on the ground and try and see for them under saddle. So an example might be, I had a horse that didn't know how to steer, right? It didn't know how to follow the rein, and it kind of wouldn't even follow the rein for a new direction. And after, I don't know how many turns, 50 turns or whatever, I was starting to think, this horse is not realizing that there's a purpose to the rein. It's just blocked so much that we just can't change its thoughts. So what we did is very, very slowly, we just kind of just moved it a bit and just rested it. Just moved it a bit with the left rein and rested it, and just moved it and rested it. And though the horse was kind of bracing in the rein, it had kind of, when you rested it a little bit, it'd kind of relax and go, ah. So it was almost like we made a little island, just like they did in Dubai. You know, they make islands and then they turn them into big islands with palm trees and stuff like that. But they start with a few rocks, and then they put some sand and dirt on it and keep going. So you sort of just made this little spot where that horse could stand still and just go, oh, no more stress of the rein. And so we just kind of moved it. And then after a while, the horse started to think, and you could see it happening. That rein takes me to a better spot. And it started to kind of hook on the idea of the rein. And then all of a sudden I saw the eye start to sort of change in shape and the ear start to flick onto the rein. And the horse started to think across with the rein because it knew it was going across to a little island that it liked. And that was one way of just trying to help a horse learn how to steer. It was very slow, but it was going back to that sort of thing as do something very small, but make sure you do it very well. So this was like the tiniest thing, but we had to get that horse to hook onto that rein, not just steer without hooking onto it. Now, so with your little pony, when you do your stops and you think, well, big pony, Highlands aren't always little. When you do your stops, when you do your turns, when you're watching your horse, when you back it up, when you rest the reins and you just breathe out and you relax, is your horse kind of going, ah, I'm here with, and is it connected with you, and does it hold that connection and feel good? So when you're riding, look for those signs. You know, after you've asked your horse to do something, is it coming back and feeling okay? And is it getting the same look and expression and Is it standing the same as when it stands, when it's connected with you on the ground? So look for that. And then what you do is you can sort of ride. And what I do when the horse wants to turn back and go with the other horses, what I'll do is I'll just drop the reins, not drop them as in I'll still hang onto the reins, but I'll hold them really loose and I'll ask for some energy and the horse will turn around and it'll kind of go back where it wants to go. And then I'll just stop it and just let it kind of stand a little bit. And then I'll just turn it again, ask for some energy, and it'll turn around and go back to where it wants to go. And then after a while, when it goes back to where it wants to go, I'll just quickly turn it back out and reset it, and it'll probably stop. And then I'll ask for some energy, and because I'm not holding the reins, or not because I'm not guiding with the reins, the horse will just turn back around again. And then after a while, I'll start to look out and think, well, maybe I'll go this way, because every time I turn around, you know, I just get turned back and just stood again. And so you take him out a little bit, and when he goes out, if he starts to search out, take him out, but don't let him go as far as, you know, he wants just straight away. Turn him back and take him back to where he kind of feels safe with you and then go out again. And then what you might do, you might go 5 meters away from the herd or the yards, and you might go, well, I can deal with 5 meters. And then in that area, 5 meters away, you just see if he can connect with you. And then from that spot, you might gain another 5 meters and just get him to go, turn. But instead of coming all the way back to where you started, you might just go back to the 5 meter area where he last felt good, and then reset him, reconnect with him, do some things with the reins, whether it be steering or backing, just to get him to come back into you, just stand with you and go, yeah, I'm cool with you. You've brought me back to an island and I feel safe. Okay, so you've been the direct link to me feeling better. You use the link of being closer to the others to help him feel better as well, but you're trying to say, I got you there. I got you to feel good because I guided you, yeah? Sorry, I just got the phone a bit off. So then you take him out a little bit further and you come back, and then what happens is that 5 meter island that was 5 meters away turns into a 10 meter away island. And then after a while, it's not the proximity with the other horses, it's the proximity with you. That's the island, so it's being under you. So instead of what happens, the island goes with you. So then that's when they're really centered, is when he's calm underneath you. But you've got to kind of throw him out a little bit and then kind of bring him back to a place where we can have a breather. And that means you've got to split the difference between what you want to do and what he wants to do, and allow him to do partly what he wants to do to get him feeling half safe. But you took him there and he acknowledged that it was your ideas and your reins and your seat and your relaxation that helped him there. So if you can sort of understand that, that's probably the way I'd teach him to ride out. Just like a really crazy horse on a lead, go out and walk out a little bit and then recenter, relax. And then, you know, teaching a horse to lunge that used to freak out on a lunge or something like that, you might just teach it to go out a little bit, recenter, relax. And then just go out a little bit, recenter, relax. And then the horse goes, oh, I can swim out in there and there's no sharks and I'm not drowning and the bank's just here. And so, well, I'm going to try to swim a bit further now. I like this. I'm going to go swimming. And then they just go out a bit further. So I hope you can understand that. To me, that's the way I think when I ride, and that's the way I try and encourage people to think is you're not just chucking them out. And no matter how many rein tools and how many seat tools and how many backup tools you use, when a horse thinks it's swimming with sharks out there and it's frightened, it starts to sort of flounder and drown, and you've got to bring it back somewhere where you can reset it. So, yeah, one more. Is this the last two more questions? So we're going a bit long. I'm just trying to get through all the questions now. So Karen, Karen Hocking, how do you know when it's the right time to try a mini horse in... Hang on a minute. Oh, I got you. I was really confused there. I thought, how do we turn a mini horse into a big horse? I was like, wow, that's a pretty cool question. I don't know the answer. Sorry. We have a new mini colt who's 8 months old. He has a yard next to Hayden and they rub noses over the gate, etc. We've introduced them on the lead, taken them for walks together, and they are happy to munch grass together when on the lead. Hayden isn't too happy about being in his yard on his own, and I think misses having a buddy to interact with apart from over the fence. I have my other two together, as the other gelding is a bit of a bully and squealed and kicked when being introduced. Okay, this is a long question, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't press the thing.
I can't press the thing. So I might just... we've actually took a screenshot and I've lost the half your question, but I think I get the idea and the gist of your question, Karen. So introducing a mini horse, I think you've, by the looks of it, you've already done, you know, the things that you can sort of already do to get him interested and get them to know each other, you know, when leading together and eating together and being over the fence a bit together. And if they've done their squealing and looking and thing, you know, I just put them together. That's a basic way of answering a question, but by the sounds of it, they've done their stuff. The biggest thing is when you put horses together, like, it's very hard. Like, you know, I made a mistake once of sort of, you know, saying just put them beside each other, but the fence was kind of faulty, whereas I had, on, you know, so the fences, you know, if you put horses beside each other, you've got to have kind of good fences. They're not going to put their legs through and stuff. So sometimes it's actually safer to have a horse with a horse than beside a horse. So, and mini horses are pretty tough and they can get out of the way. And I think Hayden's already done his testing of, oh, that's a funny horse. You know, like big dogs. Yesterday we were having our dinner and there's this big young collie cross dog and there's this little kind of half cranky dog. And the big dog was like, oh, you look very funny. I want to play with you. And the little dog was going, go away, you're annoying. And the more the little dog would bark and growl and try and bite at it, the more this big dog went, oh, you're so fun. Can you just play with me? And they kind of get a bit boisterous. So, you know, and some horses can run around and get all funny with mini horses and get a bit boisterous. But I think you've done the right things in trying to introduce them. So I'd kind of put them together as long as there's space, as long as they've got a little bit of room to run away from each other and get away from each other and not be, you know, not be caught in corners and things like that. And, you know, I just put horses in with other horses at home and let them figure it out, as long as I know they've got enough space to move away from each other. If I had a horse that I thought was a particular, like, chaser or a herder, or a real culty gelding, I'd be careful of the dynamics. So I wouldn't have a mare in, for instance. If I put two geldings together, I'd put two geldings together. If I thought one was a real sort of roguey kind of gelding, but if it's just the two of them, I'm sure they're just going to go get on and be best of buddies and, you know, till forever. So, yeah. I think I've got one more, and then I think we might be near the end of it. Okay, Rhonda. Oh, this is a question that we don't have the full one of either, is it? Yeah. What's happened is I'm using my phone to do the talk because I couldn't get on online on the computer through the thing. So I've got all these questions, but we've taken screenshots and there's the see more bit. So but I do remember this question because I read it all in full before. Oh, okay, it was a reflection also. So I remember, seeing this, Rhonda. So Rhonda, what you're saying, you know, it's the hardest thing, isn't it? Like basically you rode up the hill on a young horse. You've been, you know, going out, walking out with the trained horses, sitting on a bareback, started to walk but not ridden. Today, despite the wind and the weather, you went up to move the cows. You stayed on top of the hill. The riders went off to bring the cows up. Fina was a bit antsy as the other horses left, so I got her to move around me. She ended up cantering and having a buck. Then I reflected, you reflected, you know, the old habits of moving your horses around and things like that and trying to get them kind of focused and I think the old thing was, you know, you move them around and distract them, you know, but the unfortunate thing with moving horses around to distract them, for them, if we move them around in a certain way, we're kind of like, if you think of it like this, you watch a kind of a cranky horse in the herd chase another horse around. That horse is stressed. So when you move a horse around that's stressed, You're making that horse feel like you're an alpha horse moving it around, and that's why that kind of idea to me didn't make a lot of sense, and that's why I try and discourage people from doing it. Now, there's moving around and there's moving around. So, yeah, now it's good that you could reflect on it and go, oh, that was when I just went back to an old habit and reflect on it, because the best thing you could have probably done was just stand really calm and just be good with your rope skills so you could turn that horse back, centre it, not let it run through the rope, and just stand calm, and then the horse probably would have just rested, calmed and felt your centre and just started. Yeah, Rhonda, moving them around means drive them away. So sometimes moving them around, you kind of guide them, but you kind of feel like you're moving them away because your energy's kind of going into them. And though it's not exactly chasing, it feels to them like they're getting moved away. So how you guide them can be how they interpret, how they interpret your body language is how they're going to feel. So in regards to the moving around, like what I'll just go through how I used to teach sort of 8 or 9 years ago when I did clinics. My version of getting a horse to calm, because I got better at understanding distraction over the years, and you know popping a flag or things like that. But basically, what I used to always encourage people to do when they came into a clinic with a horse that was jumping around on the rope, and I think I read Ross Jacobs, one of his blogs. His term was like a helium balloon on a windy day. They're just. So, what you got to look at is the. What I used to do was I used to go, righto, just if your horse is going that way, you go the other way, pick up the feel and walk off, and if your horse goes the other way, pick up the feel and walk off. So the horse is constantly, it's going one way and then you leave, and it's almost going, where are you going? Because it doesn't really want to be on its own. So you walk the other way and then you pick up the feel, and because you're passive and walking away, the horse kind of gets drawn to want to look at you. And this method still works really good. It's a non-invasive method. It's just you leading the horse somewhere else when it gets bothered. And then some horses that were a bit busy, I'd say to the people, well, just be a bit busy till the horse rates you. So by just, you're that way, I'm this way, and I'm going over here, and I'm going to walk over there, and I'm going to walk over here. And the horses would start to sort of focus in on them and stand and relax. But the only catch with that, it still took some time, and some horses, I think they needed to reset a bit quicker so they could relax a bit quicker. So I'm just going to see more on that question you just asked. So what, just reading your question there, so what is really important is when I am riding her, I want her to stay with me when she feels like this. I don't want her to think she has to move away from me when I'm on top, okay? So yeah, in your groundwork, you make your horses, like I said before, when they're worried, you draw them back and things like that, and that's how I used to do it. Now I would catch their focus, get them centered quicker, and get a stronger connection, so then later on I can move away and they want to follow me, because some horses, they weren't connected with their owners, and so instead of moving around hoping that they'd find that island of connection and stand with their owner, they had to have a better focus on their owners to actually get interested in them. So that's why I would not always just move away and get a connection. And once you've got a connection, then you can use that technique that I used to sort of show people a lot. So I still use it a lot. It's just now I sort of hone in on a better way to get a horse connected. But with your ride, when you ride her and you don't want her to leave you, what you got to do is you got to think about, firstly, what is she like when she's with you? So I had a lesson yesterday with Frauke, who I stay with here at the moment, and her horse, she'd been trying things like, doing a circle when the horse leaves and when the horse goes away, to bring it back, doing nice things like circles and turns just to get it to come back, and But that's only one end of the spectrum. You know, allowing a horse to leave and then saying come back is kind of okay, but that's kind of working on the brakes or the steering to get your horse to come back. So what I did with her is I worked on the accelerator to get her to come back. So, you know, because if the accelerator is bad, the horse leaves you as soon as you move off. So a bad accelerator causes a disconnection, and then we're trying to fix it through the brakes all the time. I'm not saying you don't fix it through, you know, relaxation circles, you don't fix it through reset turns and things like that. I'm not saying you don't fix it through that. What I'm saying is you can't do one, you have to do both. So if one end of the spectrum you're kind of turning your horse when it's going too fast, like when the horse does a transition to trot, it rushes, so then you kind of turn it to get it to stop rushing, that's kind of way too late, and that's only one end of the spectrum. So when she got on a horse, I said, now get off again. When she got on, because when she got on, the horse walked, you know, she walked the horse off and the horse went, walked off. And I said, now get off and let's do that again. Now, get on your horse, sit on your horse and center. And she kind of centered. And you could see the horse just waiting, going, oh, this is strange. I'm waiting here. What am I waiting for? What am I waiting for? I'll just stay here and wait and listen, okay? So then when she was centered, I said, now just walk a soft step. A really soft step where the horse kind of picks up its foot in slow motion and takes a step. And she goes, oh, righto. And she took a step. It was a bit fast, so she stopped the horse and tried to take the step. So then what happened is the horse started listening really, really hard to her legs to go, oh, gee, how much of a step does she want? Oh, I better not overstep, because that's when... And then the horse started, and then at one moment the horse actually held its foot up in suspension and just held its foot in the air as she asked with her legs. And I watched it and I go, well, she's getting pretty close to a good accelerator then. So a good accelerator is not a horse going snappy off your legs. It's not snappy departures. It's whatever you ask works, and the horse stays connected to it. So something you can think about when you start riding your horse to keep it connected is accelerating with a connection, not just letting the horse leave and then using your brains to always say come back. Because, as I say, if the accelerator is not connected, then you're only going to connect your horse with the brakes and the steering. So the accelerator has to be a connected accelerator, and that's something you can look for as well when you teach your horse to accelerate. Teach it to accelerate with you, and then you relax and breathe out. Now, what happened with the horse after she'd accelerated with a connection? I said, just breathe out, loosen your reins right to the buckle, and then the little horse just walked out a few steps, and then she lowered her head and she just floated along in this sort of steady, slow walk and just went, I'm just really relaxed and calm walking underneath you. So that took 5 minutes, okay, and she'd been trying to struggle with his horse for a long time. And in 5 minutes, that little horse walked with her quite calmly around the whole arena, and she got to a stage that she could trot it out and just bring it back with a seat, trot it out, bring it back with a seat, and find a really slow walk, find a fast walk, and then, and whenever she loosened on the reins, the horse started to just stay at that pace. And that was not through, you know, turns and resets and things like that. It was through leave with me. So basically, you can work on one end of the spectrum. When the horse leaves, you kind of reset it, and then you loosen your reins and you relax. And when you feel a horse come back, you go, there it is. The other end of the spectrum will be when you walk off with a connection. But on a young horse, you're breaking in or something like that, that's a little bit too much information too early. You might have to just get it walking, its walk, and, you know, learning, because they're going to be more so exploring. It's just this horse is a 20-year-old horse that was previously shut down, a very forward little pony, very, you know, so she's kind of right out there. So she's ready for this, but on a horse on their first maybe 10 rides, just moving forwards what you want, because they're going to be exploring. And then once they understand the basics of the accelerator, then you start to refine it to say, now let's walk off slowly, because walking off slowly is too much information for a young, you know, horse that's only had a few rides. But yeah, just something to think about when you're working. Anyway, I think that's all my questions. And yeah, I've got another day here, then I'm heading over to Munster, where I've got quite a big demonstration there, and I've got some lessons. I've got 3 days worth of very full lessons, because Paulina, who's over here, she's got a lot of new clients now, teaching horsemanship in Germany, and a lot of her clients will be doing a lesson with me, and so I sort of put people her way in Germany. But yeah, thanks for coming on board, everybody. I hope the information sort of helps you guys out, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.